This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
This is the Morning Run. Julian Lin and Charis with you and looking into some local news. The government may inject as much as 6.2 billion into Felda. This is according to unnamed sources cited in a few media reports. I see that in Starbiz as well as The Edge Financial Daily.
Yes, and if this is true, it would mean that Felda would become the second government-linked entity, I think, which requires a massive capital injection under the Pakatan Harapan administration. Now, this is after the nearly 20 billion asset for cash swap deal for Lembaga Tabung Haji.
And not to mention all the previous bailouts by the previous government on Malaysia Airlines as well as Proton as well.
Yeah, so 6.2 billion, that's a lot of money. So there is also news coming from the Economy Affairs Minister, Dato' Sri Azmin Ali, who is scheduled to table the white paper on Felda in Parliament today. Government has, the government commissioned the white paper in September last year for Felda to sort of explain the reason behind its poor financial performance. And this white paper is going to basically outline measures to improve Felda's governance and as well as overcome some of the critical cash flow issue. So back in October, Azmin Ali, he said that Felda is going to look to cut its debt to about 6.8 billion by end of 2018 from the 8 billion that they originally have.
Incidentally, the 6.8 billion is quite close to the 6.2 billion bailout figure that's been thrown about. And incidentally, as though to preempt the white paper that's being tabled today, yesterday on Monday, Felda Director General Dato' Othman Omar filed a police report over the purchase of PT Eagle High Plantation from Indonesia's Rajawali Group in April 2017. Felda says that it was directed by then PM Dato' Sri Najib to take up the 37% stake in Eagle High. So they were sort of like arm twisted into buying this asset, which is really not good, especially for a GLC.
Yes, that's what he said. This was quite a controversial acquisition at the time. Eagle High at the time had total debts of about $547 million in 2014, and their liabilities stood at $677 million in 2016. Now, the acquisition was made through a special purpose vehicle, FIC Properties, which is a unit under Felda Investment Corp. So in the police report that Dato' Othman has filed, he alleges that there were attempts to get other entities, including FGV Holdings, Malaysian Palm Oil Board and the Malaysia Rubber Board to buy the stake in Eagle High before Felda was eventually forced to purchase the stake.
I'm really shocked by this, if this is true, because the Malaysian Palm Oil Board and the Malaysian Rubber Board are not-for-profit entities. Mm-hmm. And what would they do with an investments like that, right? And the fact that the question of whether they have those kind of money to buy such an expensive stake as well.
Yeah, so, we can't go a news without hearing what Najib has to say about all this, right?
Yes.
So after the police report, so he has responded to it and he's urging the government to reveal the purchase agreement. What he's saying is that he says that they have included a put option to sort of sell back the shares to Sodak for the original purchase price plus a 6% annual return in interest. So in the agreement, Felda could exercise the option if Eagle fails to get the RSPO certification by 2019. So that is the question is option, whether Eagle will want to buy back.
Yeah, so the Sondak here that's being mentioned is Tan Sri Peter Sondak, who is the owner of the Rajawali Group, which was the original owner of the Eagle High Plantations. And Tan Sri Peter Sondak is also one of the wealthiest people in Indonesia.
Of course he would be. And this actually raises a lot of questions. And I don't think Najib's defense lets him off, because while the purchase might be an option and you can sell it back, the question is, when you take over the company, you are going to bear all the liabilities of the company as well, totaling about 1 billion, including the debts that the company has. And also the fact that the company is being purchased at three times the valuation of the company of 114 million. And the purchase was made against the advice of some consultancy like KPMG, JP Morgan, and so on. So this kind of defense does not really absolve Najib. And I'm sure we'll continue to see more of this. Now, moving on, we follow up from our discussion yesterday that the government is planning to impose a 6% tax on digital services run by foreigners by 1st January 2020. Currently, only local digital services are required to impose service taxes, which is the SST.
Yes, yeah, so under the new ruling, foreign service providers have to levy this tax on customers in Malaysia, so thus levelling the playing field between foreign and local vendors. So we understand that providers like Netflix and Spotify will have to include this tax in their bill when they charge subscribers like you and me. So to give us, I think, more details, we have on the line Senthur and Ellalingam, Asia-Pacific Financial Services Indirect Tax Leader at Deloitte.
So, good morning and thanks for joining us, Senthur. And what are the major digital services that will come under this new tax law?
Good morning, everyone. Digital services, the law sort of defines it very broadly. So we're looking at things like e-gaming, e-sports, hosting on website services, any kind of software download. So if you're looking at things like you download your VPN or firewall or antivirus software, e-books and online digital subscriptions. So pretty much any sort of services you buy through the internet that's electronically provided to you is likely to come within the scope.
Now, we're curious to find out how much will this add to the government tax revenue?
It's very hard to say because essentially how the system works is that you're looking at the larger providers. As you mentioned, the Netflix and the Spotify's coming into the system. There's no real sort of strong data out there that can sort of say, well, how much Malaysians are actually buying from the various digital service providers. But we are sort of expecting, a fairly reasonable increase. And, as we're seeing from the trends of the past few years where we're buying more and more things through the internet. So I can only anticipate that as things progress, the revenue from this will continue to grow and grow.
Now, Senthuran, you mentioned a few areas covered under digital services, so e-gaming, hosting, software downloads. But what about advertising, say, on digital platforms like Facebook or even obtaining services through an intermediary, like listing on e-commerce platforms?
Okay. Well, currently, the service tax system already taxes business-to-business transactions. So if you've got a foreign company that's providing a digital service to a Malaysian business, so they say they want to advertise on that platform, so they acquire an advertising service, that's already taxed under our existing rules. These new rules are really aimed at taxing the services that consumers buy from these foreign service providers. So essentially, as I mentioned in the earlier examples, if you're buying sort of apps or you're streaming as a consumer, you're not currently paying tax if you're buying from a foreign provider. So under these new rules, those providers will come into the net and will be paying tax from 1 January.
What can we learn from the policy around the region as far as this kind of taxing of digital services are concerned? I mean, we understand from the government that the rate that's being charged, 6%, is much lower than the other countries. Do you think that Malaysia has the capacity to, or rather the political will to charge more for this?
I think the intention behind these rules, and perhaps if I to step back a little bit. I mean, this all started a few years ago when the OECD released a report basically highlighting these foreign digital service providers who sort of not established in the countries in which they're providing services. So most of our tax laws are written in the, in the old system where you've got these bricks and mortar businesses, have got a physical shop front in each of these countries that they operate, and that's where you go as a consumer to buy them. Now you've got these companies who are based in a particular location but servicing customers globally without without having any business in those countries. So because the tax systems are written in such a way that you had to operate in a particular country to collect tax, there was no tax being collected. So the OECD made a recommendation that countries should get these foreign service providers to register in each of their individual countries that they service customers. And, you know, if they're supplying through a platform like, say, an app store, the app store should register in each of those countries and collect on behalf of the people that sell through them, so like the app developers. So from that, the OECD countries and a host of other countries agreed to adopt these rules. So the EU member states adopted it back in 2016. In our region, if we look in the last couple of years, Australia, South Korea, Taiwan, Japan, New Zealand have implemented it. Singapore has announced and they will introduce it next year, and Thailand is also going through the process. So this is pretty much a global trend. You know, Malaysia is just really following what everyone around them is doing. But you know, the government's also right in that the rate that we have in Malaysia, 6%, is the lowest in the region. It's the lowest in ASEAN. So comparatively, I think Malaysian consumers will be taxed at a lower rate than most of their, I guess, counterparts in Asia.
Thank you so much for your time. And that was Santhiran Ellalingam, an Asia-Pacific tax leader at Deloitte. So what do you guys think? Is this something that would cause you to move from Netflix, say, to Astro?
I don't think it would, actually, personally speaking. I'm quite attached to my Netflix. And if I have to pay a 6% tax rate on that, personally, I'm all right with it. But then I'm just one consumer. So I'm thinking about also, so Santhiran mentioned something about software, antivirus software, for example, that you have to purchase from foreign companies. And that's probably also going to have an impact on businesses who purchase and pay for licenses from foreign providers. So it may impact our cost of doing business.
All right, we're coming up to the news and later on a look at the EU-US trade war, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.